हेलो
All right, everybody. It is 9:44, and we're gonna do our audio and video test. We have a meeting starting at 10 a.m. today. This is me counting to you guys. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you can give me a thumbs up, you can hear me. Perfect. All right, and then we'll go to Reno. Martin, can you give me a 10 count, please?
This is Martin testing in Reno. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Perfect. Thanks, Martin. Now we'll go to James in Zoom, please. Can you give me a 10 count?
Sure. This is James in Zoom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Perfect. That sounded great. We'll go to Ben in the public comment Zoom. I'm just waiting for him to step out for a second. Go ahead, Ben.
This is public comment Zoom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thanks, Ben. And can you hear everybody else okay? This is just from the room. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep, you can hear me fine. Perfect. And that's everybody. That concludes the test, and we'll start in about 10 minutes, 15. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Testing 1, 2. Test 1, 2.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the quarterly meeting of the Task Force on Power-Based Violence. I'm Elizabeth Gunn, chair of the task force, and we'll begin the meeting with the committee roll call. Just please indicate if you're here, if you're joining us online, a friendly reminder to unmute to indicate you're here. So Dr. Kavita Batra.
Present and joining virtually.
Thank you. Ms. Luisa Bautista. Present. Thank you. Dr. Stephanie Coleman.
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Jordan Fichette.
Present.
Ms. Erin Frock.
Present.
Dr. Tabor Griswold.
Present.
Elizabeth Gunn, present. Ms. Christina Hall. Christine Hall.
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Linda King.
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Tara Margerison. Okay. Mr. Chancellor McNair, a representative.
Participating via Zoom. I'm his proxy. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chancellor. Mr. Jose Melendrez. Ms. Michelle Esposito.
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Lindsay Walterbeek. Ms. Isabel Hatch.
Present.
Thank you. And Dr. Sarah Chaminara.
Present.
Okay. All right. Thank you all. We have a quorum. Agenda item one is public comment. Public comment will be taken during this agenda item. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this item until the matter is included on an agenda item on which the action may be taken. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes per person. Persons making comments will be asked to begin by stating their names for the record and to spell their last names. The task force chair may elect to allow additional public comment on specific agenda item when that agenda item is being considered. In accordance with Attorney General File 00047, as restated in the Attorney General's Open Meeting Law Manual, the task force chair may prohibit comment if the content of the comment is a topic that is not relevant to or within the authority of the Board of Regents, or if the content is willfully disruptive of the meeting by being irrelevant, repetitious, slanderous, offensive, inflammatory, irrational, or amounting to personal attacks or interfering with the rights of other speakers. With that, I do not see any public comment in Las Vegas. Is there any in Reno?
None in Reno.
Are there any callers?
Not at this time.
All right. All right. Thank you. With no public comment, we'll turn to the chair's report. First of all, as always, I'd like to thank our colleagues in both offices for making today's meeting possible. Thank you for all the work, the preparation work in launching the meeting today and ensuring we have a space and the resources and the technology. So thank you all. And then I'd like to welcome our new members. We have three new members. One was approved by the board in April and two in just last week in September. And I'd like to ask each of them as I call their names just to give a brief introduction and their interest in the task force and professional alignment with the interests of the task force. So a warm welcome to Tara Margerison. She's a campus advocate at Truckee Meadows Community College, and she was appointed by the board in April. I don't believe she's with us yet, so I will move on to Ms. Isabel Hatch. She's a student representative appointed by the Alliance, and she's at UNR. And Ms. Hatch, if you'd like to just unmute and just give us a few words of introduction.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Isabel Hatch. I'm a sophomore at the University of Nevada, Reno, majoring in political science and international affairs. I'm incredibly glad to be with you all today. My background focus in power-based violence is somewhat personal in nature, but also has come out through professional work as well. My work with the student government here at UNR, ASUN, as the Assistant Director of Government Affairs has really allowed me to interact with the Board of Regents on a more, not personal, but definitely more in touch basis. And that has really allowed me to learn what the task force is about and what it really works for, as well as advocate for the task force's reports at the June Board of Regents meeting. I've also on campus worked with Nevada Care's Pactivist Peer Mentorship Program, where they advocate for power-based violence prevention and education through peer mentorship and really working with directly from student to student to prevent and educate students on basically what power-based violence is, how to prevent it, and how to get help if they are victims or know victims of power-based violence. I've also worked with UNR People Power, which is in conjunction with the ACLU of Nevada, to really learn the skills that are required for advocacy and empowerment in that sense. So I'm incredibly glad to be working with all of you from now on, for as long as you will have me. And I'm really looking forward to the work that you guys put together. Thank you.
Okay, Elizabeth Gunn for the record. Thank you, Ms. Hatch. We're delighted that you are joining the task force and you bring an essential student perspective and also the wealth of experience that you just described. So welcome, and we look forward to collaborating with you. Next is Dr. Sarah Chamanara. She's an assistant professor of pediatrics at UNLV and holds the seat of a medical professional. And so with that, I turn it over to you for an introduction.
Hey, so I'm Sarah Chamanara. I am a pediatrician over at UNLV Health Pediatrics. Been here for, I guess, under a year now, and it's more so like with pediatrics, it's not just the little babies, but it is the moms that we deal with, as well as like the adolescents that do eventually go on into, you know, larger roles, going into college and things like that. And so our role with pediatrics is to be able to help with educating teenagers, to be able to understand as well as to just kind of acknowledge that there is such thing as power-based violence and how they're able to help support themselves, help recognize it, and just, you know, be sure that they stay safe. So, shorter intro there.
Well, thank you. Thank you also for your time and interest in service in advance to the task force. We're glad that you are joining us and appreciate the expertise that you bring. And with that, we look forward to collaborating. All right. Next piece of information under agenda item 2, chair's report, are updates from the June Board of Regents meeting. In June, I was in at UNR to present some information on behalf of the task force to the board. And in that presentation, or upon that presentation, the board approved the chancellor designating funds, if available, to fund a subsequent interinstitutional survey on power-based violence. The funding was provided by the chancellor's office to proceed with the second survey, so thank you so much for that and for us to be able to continue our work in that regard. And the board also unanimously approved revised language that we'll hear more about in agenda item 4 today. So we appreciate the board's support in that regard as well. Final item under chair's report is I continue the conversation with UNLV's Survey Center for Research Evaluation Assessment in collaboration with the Academic Effectiveness Surveys and Data Center regarding survey administration. As previously discussed, collaborating with UNLV on the second NG survey balances our engagement with both research institutions, survey centers, and our colleagues are present today from that survey center at UNLV, and they'll be presenting to us in agenda item 7 about next steps for getting the survey underway. So that combined with the board support and the chancellor's support allows us to continue that critical work. And so I appreciate all of those who collaborated to make that happen. Thank you. With that, that concludes agenda item 2. And moving on to agenda item 3 for possible action, we'll consider approval of the minutes from our previous meeting, which was May 1st, 2025. Is there a motion?
Yeah, Chair. I'll Linda King for the record. I'll move to approve the minutes from the May 1st, 2025 meeting.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second that, Kavita Batra.
Thank you, Dr. Batra. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposite?
Aye.
Sounds like.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The motion carries. So the minutes are approved from the May 1st meeting. Moving on to agenda item 4, update on policy recommendation. During the June 12-13th 2025 meeting, the Board of Regents approved the task force recommendation to incorporate the definition of power-based violence as set forth in NRS 396-1285 in its policy against unlawful discrimination and harassment. Specifically, that's Title 4. And Chapter 8, Section 14. I believe Vice Chancellor Enrino will facilitate conversation about this agenda item.
Thank you, Chair Gunn. Renee Davis for the record, Associate Vice Chancellor for Academic and Student Affairs. And I just have a few quick updates. So I have been in touch with Kelly Sherrato, who's the Chief Human Resources Officer for NG, who is working with the Title IX officers from all of the institutions on this policy revision. So work is underway, and I think the target to take this to the board for a policy revision to the board would be for the December quarterly meeting. I don't think that's quite set in stone, but I believe that's the aim, that will be the timeline for the revision. So we look forward to seeing language from this group. It's the perfect group to be vetting this type of policy revision. So that's all I have, unless anyone has questions.
Elizabeth Gunn for the record. Thank you, Vice Chancellor Davis. I appreciate the update and information and the continued collaboration with the task force, with our Title IX officer at NG and the Title IX officers across the institution. So we appreciate the progress on this item. Moving on to agenda item number 5, Assembly Bill 465 from the most recent legislative session. Task Force member Linda King will provide an update on the outcome of this assembly bill, which was under consideration, again, in the most recent session.
Thank you, Chair. Linda King for the record. First, I'd like to say welcome to our new members. We're very excited to have you with us and look forward to working with you. My agenda item today is to provide an update on Assembly Bill 465. At our last meeting, we were still wrapping up session, and I provided an update that the setting out what the bill aimed to do and how it may have impacted the task force. The bill in its original form had changed all of the statutory citations of power-based violence to harassment and provided a new definition of harassment. Enchi's concern with that on behalf of the task force was that in doing so, it could potentially invalidate the survey work that had already been done and all of the data and results that we had obtained from the survey. So in working with Assembly Member Miller, we were able to, before the first hearing of the bill, have those changes removed so that there was a very clear understanding of the impact to the task force. And, of course, the legislature was incredibly cooperative and helpful and supporting our efforts that we made in our first climate survey and wanting to make sure that those results remained valid and that the task force could continue its work. And she did continue to have opposition testimony to the bill, only to the point that it required some clarifications. The bill set forth a new definition of harassment and provided for civil liability for institutions of higher education. It was mirrored on The bill actually contained two mirrored provisions, the first relating to K through 12. And a lot of those provisions worked very well for K through 12, but were going to be difficult from the operational implementation standpoint with regard to supportive measures for victims of incidents of harassment. So again, we reached out to the assembly member and continued to work with her and provide our concerns and an understanding of how operationally some of the things in the bill could impact our work at the NCHE Title IX offices. The bill continued on adopting a new definition of harassment. There were a few amendments to the bill, and you've got them in your supplemental materials if you want to take a look. The bill adopted the new definition, which is the statutory criminal definition of harassment, and it shored up some of the provisions really to provide more clarity in the aim of the bill, which was the necessity to have policies and procedures in place to be responsive when individuals are suffering harassment, sexual harassment, or power-based violence. And indeed, and she does have a policy in place. Our Title IX offices were very in tune with the bill and what it was going to be offering, but we continued to have a few concerns regarding consistency in supportive measures with federal law and how we might have some conflicts with state law and federal law and how institutions of higher education operate differently from the K-12 system, and we needed some more flexibility. And we had to take into consideration some of the mandated supportive measures which could have impacted a student victim's financial aid if you were to remove courses or make certain changes to their schedules that could impact their financial situation at an institution as well. I'll cut to the chase on this. The bill did not become law. We worked very hard with Assemblymember Miller. We're very appreciative of her willingness to engage and communicate with NCHE and the then Chancellor Charlton on these issues. So we have not had a change to the statutes, but we look forward to next session. We anticipate this is a very important issue. The Nevada Coalition to End Domestic Violence supported this bill, and we engaged in discussions with the coalition representatives who shared their concerns that students were relaying that there's barriers to reporting. We've invited the coalition to come and meet with the task force. I think it would be incredibly helpful if we could learn more details about what those barriers are as we work through the challenges with our policy and procedures at the institutions, and that could very much inform and educate this task force work. So I do hope that they're able to come and participate with us at a future meeting. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Elizabeth Gunn for the record. Thank you, Ms. King. I appreciate the detailed update and information about...
Dr. Gunn?
Yes.
Isabel Hatch for the record. I do just have one quick question. Just to be sure when exactly this bill died in committee, it had already passed the assembly...
Yes.
Unanimously, correct?
Yes. Linda King for the record. The bill did pass out of the Assembly Committee on Education, and it was introduced in the Senate Committee on Education. There was a presentation, but it did not get receive a hearing. And it was towards the end of the session, and there were many different amendments to the bill, and I think it may have just been a matter of timing with session coming in and all of the different competing bills. But all of the...
Isabel Hatch for the record.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to make sure that we had an update on when exactly that happened, because sometimes when it... I mean, just for context, my office in ASUN was tracking this legislation. So sometimes it's a matter of how likely is it to come up in the next session, depending on like how late in the process it ended up dying in committee. So thank you for that update.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Elizabeth Gunn, for the record. Any other questions, discussions regarding agenda item 5? Okay, once again, Ms. King, thank you for facilitating that conversation, and thank you for your detailed information regarding the bill and the process, and again, for being present during some of the hearings in the session regarding this. Very much appreciated. Turning to agenda item 6, future meeting dates, Nevada law provides that the task force shall meet at least once each quarter and may meet at other times upon the call of the chair or majority of the members of the task force. To assist the task force members in planning and to support consistent attendance, the chair proposes a similar meeting pattern to the one scheduled for the prior year. If you're following along in the agenda, you'll see the dates and times are as follows, and those will, if not already, start appearing on your calendars. So you can preserve that time. The dates for the upcoming four meetings will be November 6th of this year, 9 to 11, February 5th, 2026, 9 to 11, May 7th, 2026, 9 to 11, and Thursday, September 10th, about a year from now, 9 to 11. So again, thank you in advance for prioritizing those meeting times on your calendars. Seeing no conversation or discussion regarding future meeting dates, we'll turn to agenda item 7, which is the 2026 survey planning. Present with us in Las Vegas are colleagues from UNLV's Center for Research, Evaluation, and Assessment in collaboration with UNLV's Academic Effectiveness Surveys and Data, and they'll present their scope of work for the next survey. This will include discussion of a timeline, which the task force has already discussed to some extent, in preparing the survey, for garnering the task force input and edits, and for a task force vote on advancing the survey to the Board of Regents for their consideration. Just a friendly reminder for those members who are new since the previous survey, we're a recommending body. We do vote on, we edit, get the survey in the best possible shape, and we will vote on whether or not to recommend the survey for the board's consideration, and then the board determines whether or not to administer the survey. So well in advance of that is discussion about how to use the most our first iteration of the survey, how to improve it, shepherd it through the appropriate processes, and make it ensure it is the most effective tool as possible when we send this out to students again. And so with that, I'll turn it over to colleagues from UNR. With us today is, I'm going to ask your colleague to introduce herself, Dr. Bradley Mariano, and who's an associate professor at UNLV and also director of the center, and his colleague is with us as well.
This is Brad Mariano for the record. It's a pleasure to be with you today. As noted, I am an associate professor of educational policy and leadership, faculty director for the Center for Research, Evaluation, and Assessment. And I also have my colleague here, the associate director of the center.
For the record, Dr. Megan Grifford, assistant professor of educational policy and leadership and the associate faculty director for the Center for Research, Evaluation, and Assessment. Thank you for having us.
Brad Mariano for the record. The Center for Research, Evaluation, and Assessment, nicknamed CREA, has been on the campus of UNLV since 2015. We are a program and policy evaluation center. We are well-versed in survey methods and have been doing that work for some time. I have been at the center since 2019 as its director. We are working in collaboration with our colleagues in UNLV's Office of Academic Assessment. Previously, the Cannon Survey Center existed on campus. That work has been folded both into our center and into the Office of Academic Assessment, and so we work collaboratively on surveys both within and outside of UNLV. Before you is the scope of work that we have planned collaboratively regarding this survey. I want to note that we are not experts in power-based violence by any stretch. We are experts in survey and research methods, but as a part of our scope of work, we plan to start first, as soon as we're given the go-ahead, with a literature-based review of power-based violence surveys across the country. We have a number of mechanisms by which we do these type of survey reviews just to see how the existing survey that was administered by UNR in 2023 compares to other efforts across the country. What can we learn from work that other institutions are doing? We plan to, that work to occur in fall of 2025. And then in spring of 2026, we'll begin with a comprehensive effort to redesign and then small-scale pilot a new survey on power-based violence. I will say, with the pilot in mind, we kind of have two goals. One, we would like to obviously increase the response rate from the prior effort. We wonder, with generally around 5,000 responses to the prior survey, which voices are we missing in that effort? And we intend to also reduce the length of the existing instrument as a way to improve response and ensure that all students are able to take the survey. And so that will be a spring 2026 effort. And then late spring, we intend for the climate, for the power-based violence survey to go before this task force for further feedback, modification, and then recommendation to the Board of Regents. We aim for distribution in early fall. We plan distribution prior to like a Thanksgiving holiday to ensure maximal participation from students. And then we'll begin analysis on survey results late fall of 2026 with report writing, final presentation in spring of 2027. So that is a high-level overview. I wanted to be brief in my comments so that we can open it up for any questions or discussion.
Elizabeth Gunn, for the record. Thank you, Dr. Mariano. Thank you as well for being here today. And thank you for presenting the scope of work. Appreciate the overview and the timeline. This is an important moment for the task force. If there are questions or conversation, discussion about the scope of work, about the timeline, and how the task force will engage with the new iteration of the survey.
This is Kavita Batra for record. I also appreciate the overview and the timeline provided. I have a few questions about the scope of the survey. So when we say that we are going to make it a little bit briefer than the other version, then how we will ensure the comparability? Because if we have like questions that we asked in the past and now we are shortening it, how we will compare it? I want to understand the extent of the change in the scope, like detailed scope, like whether those questions, like we are reframing those questions or we are excluding some of those items which are not necessary. So I think details will be helpful. And also, are we also going to establish any validity of the survey? These are my two questions as of now.
Brad Mariano, for the record, that's a great question. Our intention is to not comprehensively alter wording of questions so as to allow for comparability over time, but to look carefully at any redundancies within the existing survey so that we reduce the number of items. We will do our normal reliability and validity checks as part of this process. We also want to ensure, and I don't know to the extent right now, that past survey items were borrowed or utilized from existing valid and reliable scales. That will be part of our fall 2025 check. So it's early to say now. Of course, the task force will have an opportunity to review. We'll try to mitigate the number of changes to ensure comparability over time. But my major concern, first and foremost, is improving response. And I just worry that as great as the past effort was, there were missing voices in that survey, and so we want to ensure maximal participation this time by reducing length.
Thank you so much. I do agree that response rate should be prioritized. One thing that I noticed in the past, because I have several students that I work with, some of the students didn't even get the survey to fill out last time. So that's kind of like contributor. We just need to make sure that the list or lists of that we are using, it's all updated and all students are getting this, because I have several examples and students actually, I was actually reaching out to students and asking like whether you received the survey or not. And most of them said no. So I was like wondering how we can make sure that our respondent, potential respondents get the survey. And in terms of validity and reliability, I do agree that the items that we took from the, you know, for the previous survey, those were taken from the previous surveys and we kind of sewed them together nicely. But I would like to volunteer myself because I have expertise in survey validation. So if you are going to, you know, do kind of like SME reviews, you know, to get the feedback to establish phase and content validity of the survey. I'm assuming that we are not going to establish any construct validity, which is kind of statistical thing and very heavy thing on that part. But even if you want that, I can do that. And I can offer my expertise to do phase and content validity. And then we can prepare those logs. And if anybody asks, we can definitely give those details about how many items were removed, how many items were adapted, how many were edited for the better readability. So I can definitely volunteer my subject expertise to that.
Dr. Mariano, for the record, I really appreciate that. We have a couple psychometricians on our staff who would love to work in collaboration on that. So we'll definitely reach out. In terms of response rate, I'll just note one thing. My recollection is the survey was administered maybe late fall last time, and we'd love to move that up and lengthen the amount of time that that survey is open so that we can modify and adjust to the extent that we recognize there are students that are not receiving it. Just adding time to administration is going to help with that.
I have one last question, and that's actually related to response rate and the potential respondent list. The students who are getting the survey, those students belong to main campus, or it's going to be extended to the medical district as well, including medical students and dental students here where I actually live?
Dr. Mariano, for the record, I'll defer to the task force on who that goes to.
Elizabeth Gunn, for the record. Dr. Batra, I apologize. Could you repeat that component of the question?
So actually, we have grad, you know, colleges and everything in the main campus in Maryland. Then we have another campus, the medical district in West Charleston, where we have medical school and also the dental school. So my question is, what is the scope of that dissemination? Will that also cover medical students and the dental students here in the medical district campus?
Elizabeth Gunn, for the record, it should. The survey should be distributed to all. Let me speak to the previous survey. The intention was to distribute the survey to all NG students, excluding, if I recall correctly, Ms. King might help me remember, excluding students, dual enrollment or dual credit students under the age of 18 were not included. And there was a question as the survey began, if a student was under the age of 18, then they did not take the survey. But otherwise, the survey should be distributed to all NG students, and that is a comprehensive process to ensure we have the most up-to-date, correct listserv of students from each institution, and that's a collaboration with the task force. That will be a collaboration with CREA and the NG office to ensure we have the lists, the correct lists, to distribute. And
So that will be fantastic, Dr. Gunn. I have just one more last question for you. So we'll be utilizing snowballing technique to maximize the response rate. For example, you know, if students are getting it And if there is any way that we as a task force member also get one copy, like digital email, like email with the survey attached, so that we can also do snowballing to the students who might not have been gotten because of anything, and then we can do the snowballing. Will that be possible or not?
Dr. Mariano, for the record, what we'll likely do is set up the survey with an authenticator that allows a student to enter their ENCHI ID. What that does is it secures the survey to prevent multiple submissions, but allows us to do that type of snowball sampling so that that link could be provided to any ENCHI student. And so long as they can go in and enter their ENCHI ID, they'll be able to access that. So that's likely how we'll perform administration.
That's good. So will we get the link so that we can, you know, disseminate that link and do snowballing? Because that will also help in increasing the response rate if it comes from the professor, or maybe, you know, instructors can also emphasize that in their syllabi or something like that, just to increase the response rate.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Mariano, for the record, what we'll do is likely something similar we did for the judging the judges survey we just performed for the Las Vegas Review Journal, where we'll give you a flyer with a QR code that can be shared with your students that will take them directly to the survey and allow them to go through that authenticator with their ENCHI ID and participate.
Yeah, because my job is more kind of consultation based, so I get like 10 students each day. So when they come to me, I can definitely at least ask them whether they got the survey, they filled it out, and if they don't, I can have the QR pasted in my office. So just one of those strategies to increase the uptake of that survey. Thank you so much for answering all my questions.
Hello, Dr. Stephanie Coleman for the record. I see the value in the response rate. That's definitely something that we all want to improve. When I joined this group last year, I had inquired about the tool in and of itself and the lack of questions around consent. Is this, will there be a space where we actually review the tool that you guys created and we can give input, or should that happen in another space?
Dr. Mariano, for the record, as part of our timeline in spring 2026, we intend to bring the tool before this task force for full feedback and comment. And we'll provide that in advance, obviously, so you can come prepared with comments. And we'd love insights like that, what's missing from the existing tool.
Thank you.
Ms. Bautista.
Luisa Bautista, for the record, just for clarification, was the survey sent out to student emails?
Yeah, Dr. Mariano, for the record, my recollection and understanding is yes, it was sent directly by a student email.
Mm-hmm. I do have one comment about having just anything sent service or campus-wide to student emails. I serve as the chair of PR for Nevada State University, so my main goal is to just get information out there to students, whether that's about Board of Regents meetings or just happening things that are happening on campus in general. And one of the main things and what's hard about getting the word out there to their student emails is that Canvas floods our emails with assignments, and I feel like it's really easy for surveys and important emails to be buried in all of that. And so we're trying to find different communication modes other than emails, for example, maybe using a Canvas module for our NSSA student government so that students can have direct access to whatever we want to give to them, whereas if we were to send them an email, it would be buried in all of that. So from a student's perspective, if I was getting a survey in my student email and it's not labeled as high importance or it just looks like an email, so it's easy for it to disappear. So what I'm suggesting is, yes, campus-wide emails would be really good if they're labeled and flagged of high importance, but also as well, a lot of our students use social media, and we like to have the survey link in our stories. And then since stories on social media last about 24 hours, and since this is a very lengthy process, we can't post a story every 24 hours, but we have their highlights that you can also have. So that's where it can stay for as long as you need. And I feel like if we continue to bring that up as we get closer to the actual distribution of the survey date or the time length between the survey when it's open to when it's closed, then students can take all the time they need to take it. And that will provide maximum response.
Dr. Mariano, for the record, thank you so much for that feedback. And that's one of the reasons why we've learned the importance of this authenticator versus sending like a unique email link to every student email. Because what it allows us to do is blast out as widespread as possible the survey access, but still provide security to that survey so that we ensure only students that are a part of the intended sample are participating. And so I love the idea of social media, getting out into instructors to embed in Canvas just as an informational item and things like that to extend participation versus just to student emails. Yes, my students are not the best at reading their emails either. So let's find ways collaboratively here to find out which groups we can connect with to expand participation.
This is Kavita Patra for record. There are some student organizations that I lead. So once it is available, we can also promote that link through those students' organizations to improve the response rate. Just wanted to let you know.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Gunn for the record. Just to reiterate, the task force will have the opportunity to line item edit the survey in the spring, and then with the revised draft, we'll take a look at it one more time for a vote. So there'll be ample opportunity to consider the questions individually and as a whole and how they interact with the entire survey. Make improvements in collaboration with our colleagues at CREA. So thank you for helping explain that. We've also discussed incentives before. It sounds like there's lots of opportunity to increase response rate. And so as we get closer to that time, we can continue to discuss strategies to improve response rate and collaboration with institutions as needed on incentives if we determine that's a good idea as well. Other comments or conversation, discussion about agenda item 7? All right, well, thank you, Dr. Mariano and Dr. Grifford, for your presence today and for in advance for all of the collaboration and improving our instrument for our students and the response rates in our community. We appreciate that. Before we move on to the next agenda item, I wanted to recognize that Regent McGrath is with us. Thank you for taking time from your busy schedule to be present for the task force today. We appreciate your time and your interest and presence.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that recognition. No, it's a topic and issue that is very close to my heart, and I'm very happy to be here and to hear all the wonderful progress that's being made. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Also wanted to note that Senator Scheibel, Melanie Scheibel, was with us earlier. I didn't get a chance to thank her before she had to leave, but we appreciate her continued support of the task force, and she was a sponsor of the original bill, and so we appreciate her continued interest and support of our work. Moving on to agenda item 8, which is new business. Items for consideration at future meetings may be suggested. Any discussion of an item under new business is limited to description and clarification of the subject matter of the item, which may include the reason for the request, and no substantive discussion may occur at this meeting, on new business items in accordance with open meeting law. With that, do the task force members have any suggested new business for the next meeting? Ms. King.
Thank you, Chair. Linda King for the record. I know that the task force is going to be very busy launching an additional survey, but I think it's important that we continue to look at the gaps analysis So I'd like to bring that back to the next meeting, particularly with a focus on programming and awareness. I think it's important that at the quarterly, we probably won't hit a deadline for the board's quarterly December meeting, but that we have more regular updates to the board so that they can understand the work that's being done and the progress. Thank you.
Elizabeth Gunn, for the record, thank you for reintroducing that important topic. That's part of the scope of the legislation, so it's part of the scope of our work. And regarding gap analysis, for those members just joining us or who were not present for the members of the task force when we undertook this work previously, we, at a couple of different meetings, we invited colleagues from the institutions to present programs available to students regarding power-based violence, resources programming, and we started to conduct a gap analysis of what's happening that's really great and where there might there be areas and opportunities to connect those resources, to create partnerships, to kind of shore up any gaps that may exist. And so I appreciate the reintroduction of that work and look forward to continuing it. Any other suggested new business items? All right, with the survey and the gap analysis, we have a lot of work ahead of us, so we'll keep going. Moving to agenda item 9, public comment. Once again, public comment will be taken during this agenda item. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this item until the matter is included on the agenda as an item on which action may be taken. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes per person. Persons making comment will be asked to begin by stating their name for the record and to spell their last name. The task force chair may elect to allow additional public comment on specific agenda items when the agenda item is being considered. With that, there's no public comment in Las Vegas. Is there any public comment in Reno?
There is none in Reno.
Thank you. Are there any callers on the line?
There's no public comment at this time.
All right. Thank you. That concludes agenda item 9, and with that, it will conclude our meeting. Once again, thank you to our colleagues in the system offices for ensuring that we have all the resources needed for our meeting. We appreciate your collegiality and support. Thank you to our CREA colleagues for your preparation and presence today. And as always, thank you to the task force members for your continued time and dedication. And I appreciate the robust discussion today and look forward to the next meeting and our items ahead. So that concludes the meeting at 10:50. Thank you.